The following may contain NSFW content and is intended for mature audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
In a world of sorry-ass social justice warriors,
politically correct panty waists,
and really fake news, there still exists brash, bold dudes with balls who tell it like it really is, really was, and really should be. This is the honest, raw, real Dude Say with Jones and Mike. Jones is a 40-something transcendental meditating hockey-playing vegan who's living the bachelor dream in the heart of the city. Mike's a 40-something beer-swilling suburban married father of four who's traded in motorcycles and marathons for a minivan. They say the things real dudes think and real women want to hear them say. No topics taboo. Nothing's off limits. No holds are barred. About everything from women to pop culture, millennials to race, news, views, family, money, and more. This is the Dude Say when they're uncensored, unfiltered, and unafraid. Join the show and say some shit too. 872-701-0999. Tweet at Jones and Mike. See and hear us at jonesandmike.com. This is Dude Say. Dude Say. Dude Say.
Jones, in my house, we have to make like a summer calendar of events, and it's obviously starts off with Memorial Day. Actually, it starts off with like Mother's Day, and then you throw in Memorial Day, and then you throw in my birthday. Not like I give a crap about my birthday, but like it's a day where like kids are going to want to do things, so we got to kind of block out some time for that day. Then you throw in 4th of July, you throw in Labor Day, and then you start to go through and you plug in the family vacations, and then you start to get to the fun stuff that you want to do. And you and I always plug in Riot Fest every year, September 15th, 16th, 17th in Chicago. Looking forward to that with you this year. Now you're telling me that there's another date we have to throw in right around then? Tom Jones at the House of Blues?
It will either be September 14th or 15th for what could be his final Chicago performance.
I don't think that you're right on that. He's like an octogenarian these days or something.
Well, he's 77. And if you do the... But like, think about it. The last time that we saw Tom Jones, we went with my mother.
Oh, my God. So, like,
and my
15 years ago.
My mother passed away 11 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So you're probably looking at 13 or 14 years since he's been here.
Well, 13 or 14 years since we saw him.
I don't think he's been here, though, since.
No.
I don't think so.
But the guy does a great show, dude. He's affable. He tells good stories in between songs. Oh, growing up, I was working in a coal mine, and he goes through the whole thing talking about what a bleak existence this guy lived in Wales. And then talk about rags to riches, right? And then like they discover that he has an armadillo on his trousers, and he can actually carry a note, and he becomes this hairy chested hirsute sex symbol in the 70s. And like you and I like kind of went like it was a gag, right, back in the day at the House of Blues. And then we're like, wow, this guy actually puts on a good show. And then you famously threw a giant pair of panties on stage. He acknowledged them. We've had great times at Tom Jones.
It's been a love affair ever since.
And now, and you're right, now the added like kind of like little thing of that we went and saw him with your sister and your mom, God rest her soul, now that makes it kind of carries even more import. We have to go see him.
Yes, we do. So the calendar continues to fill up.
Yeah, and then you plug in, like, I guess August 20th, we have a bunch of bands, including War Pigs, the greatest Black Sabbath tribute band of all time, playing at Reggie's Rock House in Chicago. And now, August 26th is perhaps one of the greatest freak shows of all time, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Money Mayweather. I always want to call him Mayweather.
Yes. No. That's definitely a must-see event. I was a little nervous because I have a wedding to go to in August, and I just got the invitation. And when I opened it up, I'm like, please don't be the 26th. Please don't be the 26th. Please. And I opened it up. It was the 19th.
Oh, woo.
So I am good to go for Floyd Mayweather against Conor McGregor.
And you?
The freak show fight of really, I think, my life.
Well, okay, so you didn't think this was ever going to happen. In fact, you and I bet $10 on this happening.
$10.
You owe me $10. Would you double or nothing on the outcome of the fight?
Sure.
I mean, that makes more fun and more. heads, right? I mean, let's might as well let it ride. What's $10 to a guy
Absolutely.
Like me?
Well, double or nothing.
Look at me.
I know where you're going to go.
So double or nothing. And so you're picking money.
Yes.
You're not buying into this puncher's chance. Conor McGregor's got a puncher's chance. Look, he'll be a whirling dervish for the first three rounds, and then he'll gas out.
No, everybody has a – people make too much about a puncher's chance. Everybody's got a puncher's chance. You can just close your eyes, swing, and maybe get lucky. He'll go in there with a puncher's chance. But that's like the other 49 fights that Floyd has had in his life. His opponents had a puncher's chance. That's all he has. I'm going – have. I want Conor to win. I'll be rooting for Conor, but I do not see it for a second.
And as a long, long, long time MMA observer, one of the oldest MMA fans that I know. Now, I watched it in the 90s when it was like a complete shit show of like 300-pound guy, no weight classes, no rules. Like you couldn't gouge eyes and you couldn't groin kick, but everything else, down opponents, kicking in the head. It was like completely barbaric nonsense in the 90s, and I watched that. It actually made me kind of queasy back then. They just really, the refs were untrained. It was horrible. Like, I really thought I was going to witness a death back in the 90s. Rabbit punches, the whole nine. I remember seeing like a 300-pound like sumo dude go up against like a little 150-pound guy, and the 150-pound guy took his back and rabbit punched him out. Dead.
Right.
Like, dead. I thought he killed him. So, like, I watched it back then, but, like, since it's been a regulated, real-type sport, you are the longest-standing guy that I know who's been watching MMA. So, as a longtime MMA observer and fan and knowledgeable and even practitioner of combat sports, does this help or hurt either one of these dudes? Does this help or hurt the sports that they represent?
I don't think it helps both of them tremendously. It doesn't hurt the sports. I think people now are savvy enough that they look at it as two separate things. Actually, if anything, the only people that are taking a chance in this scenario, Connor's taking no chance at all. None. He's going to make a huge payday, bigger than he would ever make in MMA. If he loses this fight, which I think he will, at the end of the fight, Floyd will retire and be done. And Conor McGregor will now be the biggest fighter in combat sports.
Right.
So there's no downsides for him. Even if he gets knocked out, he can quickly recover from that and hop up and go, well, if he wanted to fight me in the street or in a real fight, like, and that would be true. Conor would obliterate Mayweather in a real fight, an MMA fight or a street fight. There's no question. So Conor's fine. Floyd's taking a chance on his reputation. If he were to get dropped by Conor, stopped by Conor, even I think people think the fight will go the distance and Floyd will win. In my mind, I still think that's a loss for Floyd.
Right.
Floyd has to stop Conor unless Conor has some kind of weird Chuck Wepner, Muhammad Ali, where everyone knows that Conor should be unconscious right now, but he just through pure will, sheer will, gets his way through the fight. It's got to be that kind of finish. Now, boxing could definitely take yet another black eye of the million that it's taken if Conor does go in there and win. But I do not see it happening for a second.
Right on. I'm trying to pull up Jim Lampley. You love Jim Lampley. We're both big Jim Lampley fans. Lampley, he seems actually like he's pissed off about this fight. He seems like he's perturbed. I think that HBO has sent him out there to poo-poo this thing.
Because the
timing of the fight being August 26th, it's right in between two of their big events, Triple G and Canelo.
Yeah,
is one of the fights, and then what's the other one that is sandwiched in between? Now it's escaping me, but he's pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm only aware of at that point it being Golovkin and
Triple G and Canelo are a couple of weeks later, like on September 16th, I want to say.
And, okay, yeah.
And then there's another fight coming up. So he was actually talking like on some sort of boxing podcast or some nonsense about the farce that is going to be this fight. Let's take a listen to our favorite Jim Lampshade.
Billie Jean King played Bobby Riggs in tennis.
It's funny. I was thinking about that as well.
That's the real comparison. Yeah. That's what this event is. It's a reiteration, in a way, of Riggs versus King. And everybody knew that Riggs versus King was likely to be a competitive farce one way or the other, but you had to see it. If we had had social media and pay-per-view at the time of Riggs King, everybody in the world would have watched it. And then afterward, did it mean anything to tennis? Did it mean anything to either of them? No, not really. You know, all it did was to validate the notion that something one of a kind and highly unusual will draw a crowd. And then afterward, it didn't necessarily mean anything about either side. It didn't mean anything about old men. Didn't mean anything about great woman tennis players. This isn't going to mean anything about Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor, other than they're different people who do different things.
And it didn't matter anything at all about lesbians. It didn't have anything to do with Billie Jean King's sexual orientation back in the day. It was literally just a woman playing against an aged man in his early 50s, I want to say Riggs was. And Lampley,
I think he was right around there, yeah.
Yeah, Lampley brings up a great point. As much as I can't stand him, and as much as the beginning of this episode or this interview is him being attack dog for HBO out there complaining about this fight and about the timing of it, it was really weak. But he's a hateable guy. I love to hate him, and I love him for that. I can't imagine boxing or the world without Jim Lampley. I hope he's around for another 100 years. This is a great comparison, actually, and I don't think anyone else has made this comparison that I've heard, is that this is the modern-day King versus Riggs. Jones, your response.
No, I think it's spot on. I don't think it's a fight that is just built up. It was built up in social media. It's built up in hype. It's not built up based on skill set. I mean, really, when the only thing that does make it a little bit compelling is the public has seen McGregor display for a man like Mayweather and McGregor are about the same size, roughly. You could see them fighting and we will see them fighting. You know, in the last few years, we've seen McGregor display a tremendous amount of power for a man his size. So and Floyd hasn't fought. By the time he'll get into the ring, he'll have almost not fought for the last 2 years. It'll be like 22 months. He'll be 40 years old. So there will be those things that will lead people to think that it could be a close fight. McGregor will be the much bigger man, taller, heavier, probably stronger, maybe even in terms of speed, just as fast as Floyd. Floyd hasn't fought almost in 2 years. Like I said, he'll be 40, but he's still gonna. So that leads people to think, oh, well, this could be a fight that matters. McGregor, maybe he could figure a way out. Maybe he could, if he just focuses on Floyd. I think that's the other thing too. People are thinking like, well, now he'll be able to focus on boxing. I'm like, that's a little too late for that. But In terms of the fight, I think there are those factors that lead people to believe this could be close.
Yeah, and it's not like it's not like McGregor is just like Chad Mendes earlier in his career, just a wrestler back then. Then develop the stand-up. But really, just would take you down, smother you, and not even like look to submit you back then. Just was a wrestler. So it's not like McGregor has just been a wrestler. It's like he's in MMA. His bread and butter is just stand-up. When he fights guys that can take him down, it always becomes, wow, what's going to happen when he gets down on his back? Can he fight from his back? So, you know, it's not like it's that big of a stretch. The guy's a stand-up MMA boxer. He has had some marquee knockouts, Mendez being one of them, Aldo being another. Granted, it's 4-ounce gloves against, 10 or 12-ounce gloves? What are they going to be fighting with in this fight?
Probably 12, I would imagine.
Right, so his power negated in that way there.
Sure. The angles are gone.
They're both counter-punchers. I love it.
And then, here's the thing, though. You're not going to see, like, even his stance. Like, you're going in there, like, his stance, even when McGregor I'm talking about, when he's striking in UFC or in MMA, it's a wider stance. He's also even watching for kicks himself, looking to land them, looking to defend them, watching out for a takedown. Now he's going to have this tighter stance, this tighter boxing stance. That's Floyd's bread and butter. turtling up and protecting himself. And that's the base where Floyd fights from. So he's going up against one of the best fighters of his generation, the best fighter of his generation, who's going to be fighting on instinct. McGregor is just, you can say whatever you want. McGregor is a 0-0 boxer. And I think you're going to see how good Floyd is in terms of, especially in terms of defense now, because McGregor is only going to have offense. I can't really see him going in there and trying to be a patient fighter. He's going to just have to go in there like a wild Irishman. He is not going to win the fight going in there and going, I'm going to be a boxer puncher. That's not going to happen.
Well, so I heard Teddy Atlas, and who he just is a great interview, that guy. He just sounds so punch drunk, but I have to.
Yeah, he sounds like he was a fighter, like a fighter with like a 25-year career.
Right. Yeah, no, he sounds like completely brain damaged, although I think he has some good observations. They asked him, how does McGregor win this fight? Most people, he's like, well, you know, most people expect him to, you know, be walking forward like he's Peter McNeely against Tyson, and he's going to be a whirling dervish, but I think that if he's smart, since he's a counterpuncher as well, he will try to feint and get Floyd to try to be counterpunching on and bite on that feint, and then he'll catch him. And that's the only way he can win, is if he stays back, if he's patient, if he you know, puts up enough of a rush to get Floyd feeling like he can time him, and then he fakes him just a couple of times and maybe catches him. And I thought that was a good game plan. There's really not a good game plan when you've never fought professionally and you're fighting a guy who's 49-0 and the best boxer in the last 25 years.
Yeah, you know, the thing though is with that is I don't think Teddy Atlas is wrong, but he's going to the problem with that though is I've watched Floyd, and Floyd can be boring as hell.
Oh my god. Yeah.
But he won't. Floyd goes in with a game plan and he does not move. He doesn't. If someone is going to sit there and wait for Floyd to come forward and throw the first shot, Floyd doesn't. Floyd will wait. But Floyd's, if anything, that will be McGregor's biggest challenge. McGregor's biggest challenge will be to hear the crowd getting restless and not want to react.
Right.
That's going to be the biggest challenge, because Floyd's used to a crowd just sitting there waiting. And that's what's going to happen. Like, you know, the other big headline is, will the fight live up to the hype? It's like, no way in hell. This whole fight, watch all the pre-show stuff, watch all the build-up videos that you're going to see online. That's the fight. When we get to the actual fight, it's going to be a yawn fest.
Most fights suck anyway. That's why MMA is, to me, ascended far, even though the money still is crazy in boxing. To me, MMA is the only game in town. I saw an article. This is from the SF Gate, San Francisco Gate News. However, it's all over. AP must have ran this. McGregor Mayweather to add to sports' greatest freak shows. So this is the top five greatest freak shows of all time. I want to know which of these you've seen and where this ranks in them. Ali versus Inoki. Did you see this? Do you know of this?
Is it when he was in Japan?
Yeah. So Bob Arum, the famous boxing promoter, set up Muhammad Ali fighting against a wrestler.
Yes.
Antonio Inoki in a 15-round match in Tokyo. And apparently, Arum wanted to make sure that Ali won, so he went to wrestling promoter Vince McMahon to figure out a script for the fight.
Yeah.
And the fight was shown on closed circuit TV here in the U.S., and it was like, it's widely regarded to be Ali's, you know, the low point of his career, although later on in the story, there was another Ali low point. But do you remember this?
I do remember that. Did he also do something with Andre the Giant or some other wrestler?
Well, later on in the story, and I never had heard of this, I guess Muhammad Ali challenged Will Chamberlain to a fight, and they were all set to announce it, and then Will Chamberlain walks in and Ali taunts him and yells timber, and then Chamberlain immediately retreated back to a room with his lawyer and then came out and said he's not fighting.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Like, Ali's shit-talking him, and he's like, oh, this is too much for me. I quit. I already quit.
Basketball players are the worst, though. I mean, you remember when Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning, they couldn't even hit each other. Or do you remember when Shaquille O'Neal tried to cheap shot Brad Miller on the Bulls? He threw a punch. Miller was, his back was completely to him, and O'Neal missed. Basketball players are the worst fighters. They have to be.
Yeah, I think the guy who knocked Rudy Tomjanovich's face into the third row is
Kermit
the last.
Kermit Washington
broke like all of Rudy Tomjanovich's face.
Yeah, I
He's
think
the
that's
only
it,
good
though.
One. Only good boxer. Oh, and then, you know, I think Ron Artest did a good job in the Malice in the Palace.
He did, but some of those fans hung in there with those guys, too. If you see the video where some of those players clipped some of the fans and they popped right back up and they were swinging, and it wasn't like these NBA guys were just cleaning house.
That's nuts, man. Like, you're in, like, the 17th row, and all of a sudden you're hanging in there with Ron Artest in a Donnybrook.
I know. No, it's I'm trying to remember. I do think this qualifies. This is total freak show, no doubt. I don't even actually know how McGregor goes back to MMA after this. I think I know he's supposed to fight in the UFC this year. That was part of the agreement, and I'm sure that's in a contract, so he will have one more UFC fight. But let's say he has I don't know what the money's going to be. Let's just say, because the UFC is going to get a cut.
Sure.
Let's say he'll make somewhere between 50 and 100 million. How do you go back to the money that you were making in the UFC? Now, he will still make millions in every fight. But it's almost like when you're thinking about the work that you're putting into it, the risk, the time, how do you suddenly go back to a $3 million payday?
Yeah, like, you know.
Especially if it's $100 million.
It's such chump change.
That's my career.
Yeah, it's such chump change. And especially for a decidedly more dangerous profession as opposed to boxing Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. You know, that guy's not going to, it's a death by a thousand needles with that guy. He's not going to knock you out unless you're so gassed you fall over.
Even if he knocks him out, it's not going to be this brutal, you know, where we're watching and we're curious is, you know, does Connor have brain damage? Will he emerge from his coma? I mean, Floyd hasn't legitimately knocked out someone since Ricky Hatton. That was almost 10 years ago. That was 07, December of 07.
Thank you. You took that right off the tip of my tongue. I appreciate you bailing me out there. So,
now, he did knock out Victor Ortiz in the meantime, but that was when Ortiz foolishly put his gloves down, looked at the ref to complain, and then Floyd just jacked him.
Got to defend yourself at all times.
Oh,
we've said
I have
it a
no
million
problem
times
with him knocking him out, but that wasn't like really a legitimate knockdown. His last true competitive knockout was Ricky Hatton 10 years ago.
So in this, when I'm reading this article, dude, the plan was for Muhammad Ali to catch this wrestler Inoki on the ropes and have Inoki was going to have a hidden razor in his mouth to cut himself so there'd be real blood, just like in wrestling, dude. So the problem was Inoki thought he was, this is the article I'm reading from directly, verbatim. The problem was Inoki thought he was in a real fight, and when the opening bell rang, he ran across the ring and threw a kick at Ali. He spent much of the fight in a crab-like position on the canvas, kicking at Ali's legs, badly bruising them. While he wasn't in on the plan, the referee was, and he gave the decision to Ali.
How could you not have the fighter in on the plane?
Bob Arum said, quote, "It was the low point of my career. It was so embarrassing. Just a total farce."
Oh, my God. Well, how could you not have the fighter in on that?
Oops, it's we forgot to tell the guy.
There has to be just one guy in that arena where everyone's turning him to him and like, dude, you've had one job to do. Get the fighter in on it. You didn't tell him?
Dude. Then so next on the list is King versus Riggs, Bobby Riggs, a 55-year-old tennis hustler when he walked away in the Battle of the Sexes, September 20th, 1973, at the Astrodome. That's awesome. The second greatest thing to ever happen there since the filming of The Bad News Bears. At the time, the women's liberation movement was flourishing, and America was fascinated with the idea of a woman playing competitively against a man on a tennis court. So Riggs, who trained on vitamins and avocados, hey, it's a good fat. I have to give that to Bobby. Declared it, quote, "the greatest hustle of all time," and promoted the match while wearing a T-shirt with the acronym WORMS, the World Organization for the Retention of Male Supremacy. I have to say that in my house, this is before I was born, but in my house, it was decidedly Riggs backing crowd. My dad and my brother, if I recall correctly, the anecdotal recounting of this, they were upset that Riggs lost, which that leads to my premise about this fight. I believe that this fight is going to be a big one between McGregor and Mayweather.
That's a bold prediction.
Because America is so incredibly racist. It's whites hating on blacks. It's Hispanics hating on blacks. If it was John Jones against Mayweather, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. Two brothers fighting, not as big of a deal. The white against black, to me, is the compelling storyline here that nobody has the balls to count out or call out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not going to say that it's not a factor, but I think it really is more the freak show of like the MMA, because we've seen the boxer try to go to MMA and it doesn't work. It's funny because I would almost think if it was like the pure, it's black guys and white guys, and come on, we're really hoping for this white guys, that it would at least be a more like capable white boxer.
Well, name another
really
capable white boxer.
Anyone would look at this through. Really, it's such a true freak show. I'm surprised that anybody would drag race into it. I'm not saying that they're not, but that's really
so. You're telling
me
I'm wrong, which is fine. I've been told
no. I don't know that I'm saying that. I think the people that if they are doing that, and I'm not doubting that they are. I've never even thought about it until you just said it, that it's a black man versus a white man. They're from two total opposite ends of the spectrum. With regard to their talent level, that's the freak show for me. Until you mentioned it, I never thought like it's Conor McGregor trying to do it for the white guys or like Floyd's trying to keep up the rep for the black guys. Like that's now I think that's part of, you know, that people could make the argument that's part of why it happened. But man, anybody who would really pull me aside and be like, dude, come on, don't you want to see the white guy do it? Don't you? I'd be like, that is bizarre to me because it's such a true freak show. I get it. I totally get if you're watching a dunk contest and you're seeing a black guy go up against a white guy and you're a white guy and the other guy watching it with you is a black guy. You're kind of like, you want to see your own guy do it. Because they're both capable of dunking. They're both in Division I basketball or in the NBA or whatever. It's weird that, like, white – it's almost foolish that, like, white guys are, like, pinning any kind of hope or clasping their hands together at all because Connor's white. It's like, honestly, get ready for a sad day. His chances of winning are slim.
I think
sorry.
That's any white guy going up against a black boxer. But in this case,
well, not
you're
really,
either.
But
well, okay. So what
case,
other
absolutely.
White? What other white guy is gonna challenge money? None.
Well, the one fight that everybody wanted
right.
to see was Golovkin.
Sure.
And Golovkin wanted to fight Mayweather, and Mayweather wouldn't do it. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, if you want to go the black guy, white guy, and taking chances, and man, Floyd being, you know, the brother, it's like Floyd has played a safe career. Floyd does not take chances. There at no point was Floyd ruling the roost and looking at, say, Kelly Pavlik fighting at 160 and going, hey, Kelly, if you could get down to 157, I'll fight you.
Well, and this is why they fought, you know, he finally fought Pac-Man at the clear downturn of both their careers. But that was the safe bet for him. He made his $150 million and he still didn't have to really risk much.
Yeah, and I don't take anything away from Floyd for that. But he is a boxer businessman. He's not a fighter. He is only going to take fights that make financial sense for him. And that's one way of doing it. He's not crazy for it, but I can never think of him ever taking a chance. The fight, if he wanted to get that 50-0, and that's another thing that if you want to talk about black and white boxers and that sort of thing, when Floyd got to 49-0, I remember even telling him, I'm like, there's no way he doesn't fight again. There is no black boxer that will get to 49-0 and tie Rocky Marciano. You'll go to 48-0 and stop, or you'll either go for 50-0, but you are not stopping at 49-0.
No, there's no way.
And then here was this perfect opportunity, Conor McGregor, a 0-0 boxer.
Rocky Marciano. Joe Lewis was 149 years old when he fought Rocky Marciano.
There was the thing, though, even with this, why it makes perfect sense for Floyd is Conor already started putting videos out of him, like sparring as he was preparing for Conor, like over 6 months ago, a year ago. So Floyd could even kind of see like, yeah, he doesn't look like a dynamo just boxing.
Thank you for bringing that up, dude. So that's my theory. My theory is, and I've got $10 riding on this, Jones. So are you sitting down? I can see that you're sitting down.
I'm sitting down.
I believe this will be a trilogy. I believe McGregor will knock him out in the seventh round.
No.
Mayweather will come back and win fight number two, and that fight number three will be the first billion-dollar sporting event on planet Earth.
And what you're saying does make sense on paper, especially financially. But I do not see that happening.
Moreover, I believe that these tapes of sparring partners, the sparring, you know, in this leak, you know, 24/7 news coverage, leak-heavy news coverage that we live in now, where everybody's leaking things about Trump and things about Comey's leaking out his own stuff. Like, it's off the rails. I believe that McGregor is sending out propaganda. He's been training for this fight, maybe even for more than a year.
Even
while he was training for the last MMA fight he fought, he was really focused on this fight. I think he's that savvy, that smart. And I believe that these leaked tapes of his sparring partners that are coming out showing McGregor just looking like very fallible, pathetic even. His sparring partners are getting the better of him. I think that's engineered to lull Mayweather into a false sense of security, and the only thing that can really beat Mayweather is him not training and him taking this for granted and him not trying hard enough. And I believe, while I believe this will be a trilogy, which makes it seem like it's fixed, I think it'll be a trilogy that's legit.
Interesting. I don't see that at all. A couple of reasons.
Well, then you better have your $10 on your nightstand, Buster. Don't spend it.
Well, I'm telling you. Well, here's the thing, though. So, Floyd's 49-0. He's only fought two fighters more than once. He's not a trilogy guy. He doesn't even like to repeat fight someone. If they were really going to try to work a trilogy, like he didn't, at the time he finished fighting Andre Berto and was at 49-0, Conor McGregor was not on the map, you know, in terms of being a possible fight for Floyd. So he never went that route of looking for the trilogy fight or the big rematch fight. I keep saying repeat, rematch fight. Mm-hmm. That would have been Pac-Man. That would have been the matchup to do it in, because people had been calling for those two to fight for 7 or 8 years. Like literally before they fought, it was anywhere from 6 to 8 years that people were calling for that fight. That's how long that fight took. It was pathetic. So he's never been that kind of guy. And I think while he is all about money, I can't imagine, he's all about ego too. And I can't imagine him. I don't see him taking, even if you're saying it's going to be a legit victory for Conor, I don't see Floyd taking this lightly. I think Floyd's looking at this and going, I got 10, 11 weeks to train hard for this. My reputation, I want that intact. There's rumor that he had lost a significant amount of money on an investment, and that's kind of also why he's doing this. Not, he didn't break the bank or anything, but let's say he's worth $600 million and he invested something and now he's down to $500 million.
Yeah, didn't Chael Sonnen say that? Didn't Chael Sonnen or somebody say that was his theory on it?
No, that's a theory that I've heard knocked around. And he had many years ago, 10 plus years ago, he had been rumored to be in trouble with the IRS, which I believe he was.
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever he was questioned about it, he wouldn't say, no, I don't have any problem with the IRS. He had been, the rumors that he'd been working out with lawyers from the IRS. And then whenever he was questioned about it, his answer was always, me and the IRS have no problems. And that's because I think they had worked out an agreement saying, hey, look, I've got these fights coming up. This is what you're going to get. Everything will be okay. And it was. And then all of a sudden, things really turned the corner for him. Now he's, you know, at that $500-600 million mark.
Jesus.
And everything's all good. But I don't see Floyd taking this lightly. I don't see Floyd taking this lightly. And here's the other thing. Like, he's never been He lives in Vegas. I'm sure he's a party guy, but he doesn't drink. He does, like, he was always in shape. You never saw him carrying weight into the ring. He did always take the craft serious. And I don't think actually, you brought up Race earlier. He's not going to want to go in there and be, you know, he's not going to want to go in there and be the 49-0 black boxer that lost to the 0-0 European
right.
white
except,
fighter.
Except if he wins the next two of the trilogy. And then it's like, yes, Whitey, sit down.
No, he wants the zero.
Yeah, well, again, I'm not saying that he's in on, I don't think the fix is in. I think that he legitimately will lose this fight. And it's ridiculous, but is it as ridiculous as Jesse Owens racing against a horse? Did you know about that freak show?
I do. Well, no, I've seen that. Yes.
I don't recall this. It was 1936. Jesse Owens had upstaged Hitler and winning 4 Olympic medals in Berlin. There was no real way to make money in track and field. And a black man doing those during those times wasn't going to get endorsements anyway. So he decided, Jesse Owens decided to go the freak show route by racing a horse. Quote, people said it was degrading for an Olympic champion to run against a horse, Owens said, but what was I supposed to do? I had 4 gold medals, but you can't eat 4 gold medals, end quote. The race took place the day after Christmas in Havana between halves of a football game with the horse given a 40-yard handicap, and Owens won. Havana, that's where they had the mule shows. Like, Havana was off the rails. Like,
right.
This is why you got to applaud Trump taking on Castro and his brother again.
Oh, please.
Cuba needs to get back to what they used to do well. These 57 Chevys, out with those.
Work with them.
Back with the humans on animal shows. That's what Havana was known for.
Well, that's what he should be expressly saying. Like, just come out with it then and say that's what you want to see.
Until you start having more humans on animal sexual encounters and sporting endeavors, we're gonna put the embargo back on you.
Yeah, well, I'd give him credit for that if he expressly said it.
And then this week, it was also announced that Michael Phelps is going to be racing against a great white
shark.
Yes, great gold against great white during Discovery Channel's Shark Week this fall.
How are they going to do that? I read it. I read the headline, and then I didn't even, I'll admit, I didn't even bother clicking onto the article. Because I was just there's no way that they can possibly do this in a way that it will be legitimately entertaining. I mean, even like how fast is like a swimmer like at top speeds, like 5-6 miles an hour, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
nothing.
No, of course not. Like, I could swear they've already done something like this. I could have sworn that
you're
it was
thinking
like,
of Shaquille O'Neal versus Michael Phelps.
I am. What those guys? What
no,
did they
I'm
do?
True.
Oh,
you
no.
never, you never saw that?
I thought there was something where like Phelps was in a pool, and then they had like a line of how fast a cheetah would be running, or some bullshit like that. Like, I thought they already did something like this.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but like, I don't even see like the visual of Jesse Owens and the horse. I would get that. Because Jesse is going to come out of the blocks visually fast. Like, when we see a sprinter, you can tell, even though it's just two-dimensional, you can tell they're going fast. Same thing with the horse. Now, all of a sudden, when you see a shark and Michael Phelps coming out of the same block, it's not going to be even remotely... I mean, a shark's got to be able to do what? In a burst, do 60 miles an hour, right? Right?
No way. 60?
50?
No way. Look that up. I don't believe you for one second. 60 miles an hour. First of all, they measure it in knots, Jones. You don't even know what you're talking about.
35. Okay, so 35 miles an hour versus Michael Phelps doing what? 5?
Laughable. Laughable. And what's his best stroke, by the way?
I think his best stroke is the fly.
Is it the fly? Yeah. Is that his fastest, though? Like, that looks like...
No, it's got the
freestyle's got to be his fastest,
be
yeah.
Fastest.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of cool if they were both, like, on opposite sides of a split pool. Although a pool, like, what's the shark's going to get there in a second?
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be some handicap. It'll be just like this with Owens, where the shark has you know, a couple of hundred yards.
Okay. Okay.
Head start. He has 100 yards on the shark.
It looks like. God, I'm trying to find here. It looks like maybe Phelps could swim as fast as. Oh no! Yeah, 5 to 6 miles an hour.
Yeah,
against
come
the
on.
Thing that can do 35.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So there's no chance of him dying. There's no chance of him winning. Which is more of a farce? Michael Phelps against a shark or McGregor against Mayweather?
Michael Phelps against a shark.
Who is the cooler nickname? Notorious One Conor McGregor or Floyd Money Mayweather? Who wins that?
I go with Conor. I like Notorious because Notorious can be so many things. Floyd, actually, to be honest with you, his whole money thing is quite boring because he's not even as flashy as he is. He's not really – he doesn't really have the gift of the gab. All his thing is – honestly, his biggest thing, what generates the most attitude or the most response from people is he's a young black guy with a lot of money. That irritates people.
That's what I'm telling you. That
he's not
angers
even clever
people.
With it. Where there are people who are like Deion Sanders had one-liners, and he had a way of
– he was a credit to the black race, and this guy is like – he's like nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think like Floyd, he's not very clever with his words. It's always just going to be like, look at my watch, $200,000.
No, that's what you expect. You expect the black champion to be so much more than money Mayweather has been. He's been a complete letdown. So,
I could see where you're coming from that, but it's been that way for like 10, 12 years. I mean, we've had time to get used to it.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for his father, there'd be no excitement at all in the Floyd camp. His father is the Le'Veon, not Le'Veon Bell, the LeVar Ball of boxing.
Yeah.
Those two even themselves, I expected them to fight. I expected that to be fight number 50 for Floyd.
That would have been interesting.
They've been at loggerheads for years, and I'm glad to see those two back together again, especially on this Father's Day. So you're going with Mayweather. You're going that it has to be a stoppage, and you're saying that's going to be like in round 9. I'm just going to get inside Jones's head.
I have no idea in terms of predicting rounds. I just think he just has to stop him. Even if he stops him in the 12th, he has to stop him. I'll leave like a little, tiny, minuscule asterisk if there's some kind of like, we saw Conor fall to the mat 6 times and he gets up and he's like a zombie, but he keeps coming forward and no one knows how he's on his feet. And Mayweather, the whole fight just pelted him. It's got to be that dramatic. He can't just score 12 clean but boring rounds and go, I'm 50-0. Then it's kind of like, dude, you fought a guy who's 0-0, and you fought guys his size before. So it's not like there's even – that's not even really an element of the freak show. Like, you know, De La Hoya was his size, Diego Corrales. Like, he's fought guys McGregor's size too. So he should be just fine.
Okay, and I'm going with McGregor knockout, 7th round, losing fight number 2, losing the trilogy, but the first $1 billion sporting event in human history, and all of it being legit, not on the take. You won't be hearing any hitmen dropping dime on any mobsters talking about how they were in bed on this or anything down the line. This is legit sporting activity, and this is indicative of racist America, myself included. I'm rooting for the white guy. There I said it.
It'll be interesting to see how that grows.
And I'm rooting for the MMA guy.
How that grows.
And you got to say, look, dude, also, and I heard this also articulated this week by Sarah Spain, former Chicago-based, but now she's like part of some morning show somewhere, Spain and Izzy or something in Cincinnati or something. She was actually taking ESPN hosts like Mike and Mike to task for saying, like, look, how can you support Mayweather fighting at all? How can you root for him? How can you pay for the pay-per-view with his history of abuse, of domestic violence? How can you support anything this guy does? And the fact that people not only overlook it, but many people still root for him, I think is part of that. Look, there must be people rooting for him because they love boxing and they hate MMA, or they really hate McGregor that much. But I think it's a lot of people are rooting for him because he's a black guy. And no matter what he's done, they're going to root for him.
Yeah, look, sports always falls down to that. If it's your guy, and even outside of race, if he wears your team's jersey,
right,
people get pretty quiet. Like, look, even in Chicago, Addison Russell, his situation 2 weeks ago, you know, when he came out into the field for the first time, there wasn't even a hesitation among Cub fans to shower him with applause. It wasn't like, oh, we don't know yet. Let's just light applause.
Isn't that fair, though? Like, look,
no,
like, just because somebody
the
makes
it. Fans never show hesitation. No, I mean, look at when Chapman came out into the mound last year.
And that
the
I'll,
guy was always
that I'll grant you
with applause.
And you said, I won't be cheering for him. I'll be cheering for the Cubs in Game 7 of the World Series. And you held to that. And I applaud you. This is a different situation where MLB is investigating something that someone said
that.
On Facebook.
I understand that.
And the cops aren't involved. His wife has not made any formal allegations. There's nothing to investigate. There's no reason to hold his feet to the fire. Some idiot on Facebook says something in one of the threads, the comment threads under a photo, and all of a sudden we all have to now go, I'm not going to clap for you now when you run out and take shortstop.
Right, but that was someone who was closely related to that couple, and the wife has not come out and shot down what her friend had to say
about
the situation
enough.
Either. And we're not, I don't even care to get into whether he's innocent or guilty. It was just another example of the split second that the fans saw Addison, they went right back into fan mode and applauded him. And it was the same thing that happened to Ray Rice with the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. Like, it's...
I don't know. He never took the field again, as far as I know, so...
No, he appeared... He did appear at some preseason game, and people, they had video of like everyone standing up and applauding him and
really?
Cheering him on.
Oh,
like,
my God, that's crazy.
It's just once someone has it's a default in our brains, man. Once someone puts on that jersey,
yeah, I mean,
or you've identified them as someone you've cheered for, it's really hard for people to pull back.
Race aside, affinity for a sport aside, I like MMA. I like people from Ireland. Putting all that aside, how could you root for a guy like at least like twice? Hasn't he been convicted?
He's done 87 days in jail back in 2012
for abusing his wife.
Yeah. Oh no. I have three of my most hated combat fighters. He's on that list of three.
Who are the other two?
Chael Sonnen, and then kind of awkwardly this week, it's Matt Hughes. But you heard about Matt?
No. What did he do?
I think he was trying to beat a train, and his truck hit a train, and he's been airlifted. Like,
what?
He's like in critical condition.
What?
He's like down in Illinois because he lives in Southern Illinois.
Yeah, he's a real yokel, this guy.
Yeah, and he was driving around in his truck, and it hit a train.
And he's in critical condition?
He was airlifted. Yeah, he was airlifted to some local hospital.
So why is he on your top three most hated combat sport?
He just rubbed me the wrong way. His smug attitude and face, and just the way that he carried himself. People would try to speak to him reasonably, and he just had that smug, like, I'm awesome, and I've always been awesome. He just rubbed me the wrong way. I just didn't like him. I hate Chael Sonnen, I think, is number one on that list. It's either Chael Sonnen or Floyd. It's probably I've seen most recently.
What did Chael do that's worse than beating your wife, dude? Especially when you're a professional boxer.
In terms of when they get under my skin.
It's one thing for me to beat my wife. Let's be honest. I'm not going to do much damage. But Floyd probably could do more damage than me. And he did it like multiple times. So he's got to be number one on the most hated list. What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, he probably is number one. It always seems to be who I've seen last, where I'm like, ugh.
All right, so you're saying that McGregor gets stopped ultimately in this fight. I say that McGregor stops him in round number 7. And the only question that remains, Jones, is who will stop Joe Biden? Because he needs to be stopped. Can he be stopped? Will he be stopped? Will America rise up and unify to stop a white man who has to be stopped? We'll find out more about that next, Jones and Mike.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike,
version 2.0.
Coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio.
Anywhere you are.
Any way you like it.
Anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth that make you go, or freeing men from the malaise of middle age. Giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the sh** dudes say
that women want to hear. Go to www.patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Patreon.com/Jones and Mike. Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth
from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Get the show for not much dough.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Jones, I love when you're on Joe Biden Watch. You sent me some great titillating Joe Biden videos this week. The most famous example of him being one of the biggest creeps, really, in American history. In your estimation, it's him with a graduate. He was doing like a graduation ceremony at some school.
Yeah, I'm sure he was like the commencement speech guy or whatever.
He's doing the commencement speech at a college, and this is him with this this very attractive black woman who had just gotten her parchment, and Creepy Joe at it again. He kisses her on the cheek, and she freaks out. She
okay.
She runs away. She runs away from Creepy Uncle Joe, man. Because he leans in and he gives her a kiss while they're taking a selfie. She just goes, "Hey, former Vice President Biden, would you take a selfie with me?" And he goes, "No problem." Leans in, kisses her, and she runs away from him, dude. Like somebody putting like a snake on her shoulder or something, man. She freaks out, and I love it. I love it.
Well, okay. To go back to the last segment when we were talking about supporting teams or supporting individuals and being loyal no matter what.
Right.
Like, how on earth? This is what unnerves me. There's so many things that unnerve me about Joe Biden. And not one of the things that unnerves me has anything to do with his politics. I don't care about his views. I don't care about what he tried to accomplish, didn't accomplish. Doesn't matter to me at all. But I am floored that his reputation, particularly among the left, is Uncle Joe. Funny enough, FDR used to call Joe Stalin that same thing.
Yeah, really?
Uncle Joe. He's Obama's best buddy. He's kind of the goofy guy to Obama's, you know, got it all together.
You got to admit, toward the end of the presidency, like those memes going around of
some of them were funny.
Uncle Joe doing like pranks and antics and Obama having to like, you know, cover up his eyes and be like, "Oh, Joe, so stupid, yeah. Joe."
No, some of them were funny, but like even what was it in the final month? Like he gave Joe Biden some medal, and Joe Biden started crying. Some presidential medal,
totally, yeah. And, like the Congressional Medal of Freedom or something, or the Presidential Medal.
Yeah, it was some huge honor. I don't recall what it was. So obviously very huge, but
it's a major award.
I was with people when they were showing the footage of that, and so many people I was with that saw that were like, "Oh, they're so cute. He's so cute. They're so cute together." And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, this whole anti-Joe Biden thing is not new to me. I've always been creeped out by him. And I kind of wonder why this guy gets a pass. For 10 years, he's gotten a pass.
Yeah.
For 10 years, the left has given this guy a pass. 10 years ago, he was campaigning to become the Democratic nominee himself, and said, "Oh, yeah, Barack Obama." What did he say? Something along the lines of, he's well articulate. Oh, and the first African American that is articulate, bright, presents himself well, and is good looking. He's got the total package. Now, and then like, people like looked at him, like kind of crossed their arms and looked at him sour for like 25 minutes. He apologized barely. And then it moved on. If a Republican said that, he would still be getting roasted to this day. Yet Biden got this pass for being just a complete idiot and saying what he said. And then he becomes the vice president, the number two man in our country. And through his 8 years and now, you know, continuing in his post vice presidential years, creepily touching every woman and child he encounters.
Well, and so, and you know, before we get into that, and there's a long and lengthy documented history of him being creepy, but before we get into that, I got to say that people are like, why didn't he run for president? Why didn't he run against Hillary? It might be because he previously ran for president in 1988. Do you know that he plagiarized a speech and he had to withdraw from the presidential nomination in 1988 because he plagiarized a speech by British politician Neil Kinnock?
Yes, I did hear. Now, I didn't know that at the time, but I think I did hear that. I think maybe someone knowing that I'm a Biden hater maybe even brought that to my attention.
Right. So it's like, well, this is why he didn't run, because the last time he ran 20 years ago, it didn't go very well at all. And he had to withdraw ignominy.
No, he was running when he made those comments in 07. He was a candidate for the Democratic nomination.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So he was like 20 years later, he was like, yep, I'm up for it. You know, I'll do it again. And it still just blows me away that this guy gets – it's not just – look, if you see the video of him kissing this woman at this college graduation, and I guess this woman held on to this video for like 3 years before she put it out there.
No, so just buzzed. 3 weeks, 3 weeks. Oh, it just happened on like May 20th.
Okay, fine, then okay. But you see the way that she reacts to it, and she's good-natured. She's not terrified of it, but she definitely does laugh, and there's that kind of laugh and step away of like, don't do that again, is the message.
Yeah.
And Joe consistently gets that message from women and effing children. He'll grab them. He pulls them in. He pets them. He tries to kiss their forehead. He can't stop himself. Yeah. And nobody – is anybody going to start screaming Pizzagate on this?
Yeah, so
like,
check this out.
Weird.
So check this out. This is him with the daughter of Senator Cory Gardner, a Republican from Colorado, during their U.S. Senate ceremonial swearing in. Joe being the good vice president. It's like the whole family's all around. This is like a major thing. And they're taking a picture. And Joe's standing there, and he's got his arm around like a little girl's like waist, right? So there's like a teenage girl's waist, and he's grabbing her. And so this is on C-SPAN. So this is like live from the old Senate chamber. And he's like, you know, being affable Uncle Joe, doing the thing. And at some point here, okay, now he's whispering in the girl's ear. She's like,
that's how he gets close.
Yeah. She's... That actually was super fast. Super fast. That isn't even the best one. That isn't
Wait,
even the
what,
best
what
one.
What minute marker are you at?
I was at 3:10 only.
Go to 10:35.
10:35.
Try 10:35.
All right, we're going to 10:35.
Video.
Oh, man. Because this is the one that really was like, oh, my God, he has to be, like, in prison.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a different, maybe I've...
This is a whole video, by the way, of him groping senators' children, hashtag yes. Pizzagate, by the way. So, 9 times Joe Biden creepily whispered in women's ears is another one. And Joe, so really the video that we were trying to find is him, like, whispering in on this girl's face. And, oh, here it is. Here it is. It's Joe Biden, you creepy, is the name of the video.
Okay, that's the video.
Okay, same type of deal. He's swearing in some senator. The whole family is doing the shot. And afterward, sorry, he's whispering, and her face is kind of, like, starting to, like, change. Like, this is starting to get weird. And now he's, like, trying to kiss her and stuff. She kind of moves her head, like, instinctively. And she's like, oh, my God, please. I just want this to end. I just want this to end. She's, like, 13. Yeah. And I shouldn't laugh, but, like, there's something about it where it's like, what kind of a country are we living in where this guy doesn't get called out for this, man. Or he does, but it's like in a playful way.
Yes, that is the thing that pisses me off. Like when I say I hate Joe Biden, like I hate Joe Biden. It's not like this. He annoys. And again, I don't even know what that guy thinks of in terms of policy. I have no clue. I couldn't care less whether he was a Democrat or a Republican. It makes no difference.
Yeah.
The guy
he
is
needs
a
to be
creep
put down like a dog.
Women and kids. There's another video, I don't think that you have it, but there's another video where he's with another senator and the guy is holding his, I think the senator is like on the right, and then the senator's son is there, and the senator is holding, or the senator's son is holding his child, which is the senator's like granddaughter. And Joe starts, he sees a kid and there's a switch that flips, and he starts like diving in. Remember when you had your border collie, Sadie, and Sadie would always try to kiss me, and then she would always do that thing where she would just start to
Waving slowly, yeah.
Before he does that. he senses a woman or a child, and then he just starts to wave in and wave towards. And he does this, and he kisses the infant. He kisses her. He kisses the child twice.
I'm not against kissing babies. Babies are pretty awesome. You got to kiss babies whenever you have a chance to.
No, you don't kiss. No,
not a soul kiss. Not a French kissed.
You don't kiss someone else's baby. Like, look.
Really?
Listen, I've thought about this. I am very close to your four kids. Okay? I think I've held all of them as babies. I've given all of them piggyback rides. Whenever I've been over at your house.
You've babysat some of them.
Yes. Late at night when I've been over at your house watching a game or a fight and they go to bed, they'll come up and they'll give me a hug and a kiss goodnight. We've been at your house when they've said, oh, you go to put them to bed. And one of them will say, I want Uncle Brian to put me to bed. And you'll walk up with one. I'll walk up with the other. And I'll ceremonially put them into bed and
right.
Took the sheets.
It's like we're two gay dads putting our kids
to
bed.
I've never once, I thought about this. I don't think I've ever once kissed any of your kids. I've never felt like I have to kiss this kid. And I'm close to your kids. And your kids will come and hug and kiss me.
What kind
me,
of an uncle are you?
Like
you're Gub. You're Gub. You're gay Uncle Brian. You've not kissed any of my kids. What kind of an uncle are you?
I don't think I have ever kissed any of your kids. And now with Jack being five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm not going
you're out of the woods.
To kill on any of them. Like I've never. And I'm Biden doesn't even know these kids. And he goes in for the kill. I know your kids as well as I can without them being a true niece or nephew or son
right.
or daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm not going in for
do you
like
know my,
the Joe Biden.
Do you know my kids' middle names? Because to me, that's the litmus test as to whether or not you know another human being. Do you know their middle names? That's it.
Is Elise Marie?
Well, don't give their middle names now, but do you know all my kids' middle names?
Well, I guess I'll say yes.
Do you? Okay, so just give me the middle names and I'll let you know. Otherwise, I'm giving so much information out there, they could be abducted.
Samuel?
Yes, that's one.
Walter?
That's me. That's mine. You know
okay,
me pretty well.
Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Two down. Ding, ding. You actually have three, so just one more. One.
I know.
More.
What is. I see, I want to say the girl's name, but I can't.
Yeah. Well, you get back to me on that. I mean, maybe that's an unfair litmus test that I place.
But that's not bad. I went 3 of 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I say, like, I don't really know someone really all that well until I know their middle name.
You know what, though? Do you know why I don't know your youngest daughter's name? I think because out of the four of them, she gets in trouble the least.
Because I never
say
it.
I never hear the middle name.
Yeah, you're right, dude.
I think that's it.
Yeah, she is a good girl. So there's an article that you kindly sent me called 9 times Joe Biden creepily whispered in women's ears. And some of the quotes, I don't know if these are real quotes, like this is what he was really saying, or if this is like a gag underneath. But I'm scrolling through it, dude. And there's a picture of him with Irish President Mary
McAleese
after a meeting on Capitol Hill in 2000 where it says he whispered to her, "Kiss me, you're Irish."
Oh, I'm yeah, absolutely.
there's him like boofing Hillary, which that's got to be weird. Everyone knows she's into chicks.
But you watched the way, like you saw that video on the tarmac where he gets the arm under her and pulls her in, and she's like tapping his waist, like "Let go, Joe, let go," and he holds her for like 30 to 50 seconds.
It lingered.
Like, agonizing. And people, like, and again, I'm going to be clear, I'm attacking the left on this. On the left, they always say, well, he's just awkward. He's socially awkward. And it's like, you know what? When Trump made some comment on The Apprentice about, oh, you were on your knees, that's a beautiful sight, or he's talking about grabbing him by the pussy, there were parades all over this country about that.
Yeah, wearing
people
pussy
putting
hats.
Vaginas sure. on their head.
Yeah.
Everyone was so upset. And then 20 years previous, when we had a guy that was grabbing him by the vagina, on that side of the aisle, everyone was going, oh, you guys are prude. This is a marital issue that the first family is working through. Paula Jones, while Clinton was in office, he settled out of court with a woman. And that woman was slut-shamed by the left. Everyone talked about how she had this big nose. It's like, so you're looking to go back again to the first segment. What is it about our little pygmy brains that if someone wears a jersey of our team, we give them a pass on beating a woman? If someone aligns themselves with what we think is a political ideology we're all about, we don't care if they stick cigars inside women.
Whoa!
Or if they are sitting there and they're like caressing children. We say that's either none of our business or that it's somehow cute.
Yeah, this article, dude, there are some killer shots here. Here's a still from him and Christopher Coons's daughter, and there's a and just the look on her face.
Oh,
she's mortified. Like she's
mortified.
Like, oh my god, I wish find your happy place in your mind. Yes. Go to the happy place. This is going to be over in a second. My father's not going to let this man molest me.
You know what?
Yeah.
This reminds me. So you see the way Chris Coons's daughter's reacting. She's terrified and she's trying to pull away. And if you ever saw the video of it. Joe keeps going in for the kill. And at one point, the mother kind of steps up and pats him on the shoulder like, nice to meet you, Joe. That's enough now.
Release.
And he just would keep going through it. It reminds me of a time until this very moment, I had totally forgotten about it. But we had a Catholic priest at the parish we used to go to, and he used to always Joe Biden Eileen. And Eileen called him out on it and told him to not do that anymore.
Really?
And she was like, Eileen was like Chris Coons' daughter's age at the time.
No
way.
And
the priest told her that she was overreacting, like all this other stuff. So that guy's dead, so that's great. But I hated that man. He actually had the balls to show up to my mom's wake, and I walked out.
No way. You walked out of your own mother's wake.
Left, and then I came back.
Wow.
That's how much I hated the guy.
Wow.
But so at least there, I'm holding the line. Creep never gets back into my life. And then Biden, like, could you imagine if Trump tried to kiss some student the way that Biden did? The Huffington Post would have 7 articles in a row about what a reptilian monster.
Yeah, and rightly so. And rightly so. Except they should
totally
do the same for
so.
All, right? We should just, like, all these guys are creeps.
Yes, Hastert, Dennis Hastert, total creep. Nothing to do with politics. He's a monster. But I would go to these places, like go to the Huffington Post, like nothing.
Yeah, that's weird. And so do you think that Republican voters gave Trump a pass on the grab him by the pussy? And do you think that it's a leftist thing? Or do you think that the Republicans are just
as
guilty?
Here's the difference in where I really hold people's feet to the flame. With Clinton and with Biden, we either saw or know that this stuff was happening. With Trump, it was locker room talk. And when you say locker room talk, the left would get like, that's still not good enough.
He admitted to committing a crime.
And, you know, and then here's the other thing about Biden. Like, you always talk about how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm getting angry.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
Even honestly, I was thinking about talking about this last night, and I was laying in bed with a bevy of beauties, and I was staring up at the ceiling, and I was like arguing with the ceiling of like what I would say, and I would like point at the ceiling, like that's how mad I get about this stuff.
No, I know, I'm laughing about it because there are shots on this article of like him. He's holding like this little Asian girl's face, a hand on either side of her face, and she's like, "Oh my God, retreat to a happy place now."
Yeah. He's like petting over her and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like her mom is looking on.
Daughter.
Yeah, no, I know. This guy's looking on, laughing and whatever. The you know, Mitch McConnell's granddaughter.
Yes, yes, that's right. And here's the thing, like, he'll do it to, I think it was Chris Coons was a Republican. Like, he does it. He's an equal opportunity groper. Republicans, Democrats, black, white, young, old. If you're a female, if you have a vagina, he's getting in there.
Preferably hairless. Yeah, that's his favorite. So that's the thing. I'm joking about it. I'm laughing or whatever. But obviously, this is beyond the pale. And I'm laughing more about your...
Oh,
you
I get pissed.
Take this so much harder, and I think that's cool because it's like you don't even have kids. I could see somebody with kids getting so pissed off about this. Like, what would I do if I were in that parent's position? Would I challenge the vice president? Would I say, take your hands off of my daughter? What would I do? These people are like deer in headlights, apparently, when it's happening. And you, a childless guy, pissed off more than anyone.
And the funny thing is, like, I think I just put myself in those shoes, and I think... of the number of times where my friend's kids have come up and just like wanted to tell me a story and sat in my lap. And I didn't look like that for the moment to like pull them in and for, you know, and go for the kill. Or like, I remember your youngest daughter. She used to have this thing where when I would come over, if I was sitting on the couch for whatever reason, she would like to come and sit behind me and like kind of squeeze in and kind of tuck in. Mm. And she would take her finger and she would just draw on my back, just being like a silly kid.
Right.
I didn't think to myself like, oh, tickle time, Uncle Brian, from behind.
Thank you.
I was like if I can control him. Here's the thing, too. Like, I don't have any sympathy for Joe. Like, I know I'll even go into his family and talk about how creepy that is. I know he went on like Jimmy Fallon and he had this sad thing about his son, Bo, dying. And it's like, well, dude, you have grandkids. You still have that like outlet for picking up a kid and being nurturing and stuff like that. So you have no reason to be creepy with other people's kids. But to even go back to his son dying, you go on Fallon and you cry about it. Mm. Your other son leaves his wife to date your dead son's wife.
Right.
Now they're a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
And you support this relationship.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You are a Pizzagate son of a bitch if there ever was one.
So you're saying that Pizzagate is real and he's part of it, Jones.
Here's the thing. Like, I'll be okay. I get the sense of what Pizzagate is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying what he's doing. That's some, what we heard about Pizzagate, that's some Pizzagate shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They did this. So just in a nutshell, the conspiracy theory goes that that Washington, D.C. and really all of the elites in the world have a human sex trafficking pedophilia ring going on. And in Washington, D.C., it's based, or one of the basis HQs for it, if you will, is a place called Cosmic Ping Pong. And what's weird about it is the owner of that place, some pizza place, was named in the top 50 most powerful people in Washington, D.C. On some list. And people went like, what? How is some pizza parlor guy? Who is this guy? So people started looking into him. And then all sorts of creepy shit came out about this Cosmic Ping Pong. And so now if you say anything about Pizzagate or Cosmic Ping Pong, like, you could be sued. You could be arrested, like, it's off the hook. So I'm going to distance myself from that right now and say that you're crazy, Jones.
Fair enough. You always do. You always dig on the distance. I say it.
I've actually been sued, though. So,
look,
yeah,
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know that he would have a relationship to Pizzagate. And I'm not even, like, completely well-versed in all the names and everything associated with Pizzagate. But what I'm saying is I'm not comfortable with any man that touches women and children the way that Joe Biden does publicly.
Yeah. Do you know,
Joe, if you ever hear what I have to say and you get upset about it, I'm only talking about the video that I see,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the weirdo situation in your family that you openly support.
Yeah, it's to the point,
so
dude.
So it's you. You're on you, buddy.
Yeah,
don't
no.
worry about if I use the word Pizzagate.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
the creep.
Like, dude, like, if somebody, like, comes in to hug me, like a woman, like, I always leave space. Like, so you would probably think, like, oh, you probably go in for the kill, try to feel their ass. Like, I kind of self-police where I won't even let their boobs touch me if I can help it. And there are plenty of times where I'm not comfortable with it, man. I'm just not. Like, there's just so much that can go wrong with touching other human beings, especially women and children. So I'm almost Jerry Seinfeld in that way, where I'll just opt not to. I'll just go, okay, cool. Fist bump, high five, slap five, handshake. I'm all about all of that stuff. Hugs. Oh, I'm like, whoa. No children touching me. No, never. I put my hands up like Black Lives Matter. It's weird. So this guy pulling him in close, hands on either side of the face. Like, what's that?
Yeah, that's why I feel like even when I throw out, like, you know, again, though, even throwing out the Pizzagate term, it's like, hey, bro, I'm only going on the video that you are putting out to the entire world.
Right, right.
That's creepy. That leads me to believe you make bad choices. Look, I will go on record. I think Hunter Biden has made a bad choice by leaving his wife and going for his brother's widow.
Oh,
I think that's a bad choice, right? And I think the way that Biden acts around kids and women, like, you're just making bad choices, dude. And those are the choices that we see.
It, dude.
And those are the choices that are on video. Dude, I couldn't even imagine what this guy's like in his private life.
Speaking of video, and we'll wrap this up. Speaking of video, the creepiest thing that happened this week, if you ask me, wasn't done by Joe Biden. It was done by my guy, Bill Cosby. This is video of him leaving the courthouse, I believe, on day two, the night of day two of the deliberations on his now mistrial on rape allegations. You know, he was facing a rape rap at the time. And this is him leaving the courthouse and the you know, reporters start to mob him. And this is what this guy thinks to do. He's walking by with his handlers. He does the Fat Albert, hey, as he's leaving the courthouse, dude. What do you make of that, Jones? Don't you
think? Out of his mind. And, you know, when you sent me that video earlier in the week, I was at work and I played it. And then I just kind of laughed because I thought, probably about 10 years ago, I went to go see him at Governor State University for the express purpose of, I felt he was the 20th century Mark Twain. Like, he was an icon of like a Mark Twain level.
Yeah.
And that I should see him before he dies. And now to see what has happened since I made the effort to see him, thinking he was on the level of a Mark Twain. It's unbelievable, dude.
I think it's cool. He has nothing to fear. He didn't do anything wrong. He liked to take pills with people, and now they're all walking forward. Anyone who's done pills with this guy since 1971 is walking forward looking for a handout, including Phil Spector, who he's on trial for raping or whatever, this weird woman that he apparently diddled or whatever while she was on Quaalude. So he's leaving the courthouse, and he's like, I got nothing to fear. I'm going to give him the old Fat Albert while I'm, you know, because I got nothing to fear. I didn't do anything wrong.
It's crazy. And 10 years ago, you hated Cosby, and I thought he was the Mark Twain. And now you're...
I didn't hate him, but I didn't think it was any big deal. And now I think that he's winning me over. I'm going to go and see him when he comes back around, all blind.
Right. When Cosby comes after you, I'll back you. When Biden comes after me, will you back me?
Of course I will. Of course I will. And I do support your stance that the left is crazy. And frankly, your theory, I want to hear more about this next, your theory that news should be just opinion pieces outright instead of pretending to be news, I think it's spot on.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike,
version 2.0.
Coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio.
Anywhere you are.
Any way you like it.
Anytime you need it.
words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth that make you go, or freeing men from the malaise of middle age, giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think. It's the sh** dudes say that women want to hear. Go to www.patreon.com/JonesandMike. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patreon.com/JonesandMike. Support the show. Join our community. Get rewards. And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists. Dude Say with Jones and Mike. Get the show for not much dough. Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Jones, you made some allegations there that leftists would go crazy if Trump was going around grabbing Asian girls with both of his hands, like they were basketballs that he was going to jam. And I agree with you that there is a bit of a double standard, and the media plays into it. So your premise here is, if I understand it correctly, is that there shouldn't even be this pretend veil of impartiality that the news media has anymore, and they should just come right out with it, and every business that is on the TV or on the radio should just be like, this is the type of information we're going to give you, these are opinion pieces, and we're not going to pretend that we're unbiased, we're not fair and balanced, this is what we do. Do I have that theory correct?
Absolutely. Now, I also want to be clear, like, I don't think in terms of this rah-rah, let's just root for our team and ignore all of the faux pas of its participants. I don't think that's solely on the left. I'm only calling out the left for what I was talking about with Clinton and Biden, because their whole big thing is women's rights and supporting women and being the heroes of women and children and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, dude, where are you guys on that one? Now, you know, believe me, I think on the right side of the aisle, you could easily pick apart stories where it was like, total hypocrites on this side. And with that in mind, my attitude has been, boy, all these news organizations, like I've been thinking about it this week, all these news organizations go out of their way to try to act like we're only reporting the facts. We're only giving you the facts as they come in. And I've just gotten to such a point now where the execution of it is so poor. Why even bother putting on that veil of impartiality? There should be an overt right-leaning, left-leaning, libertarian network, Green Party network, and you just they're only going to give you the consumable pieces. If you identify as a left-leaning person, a right-leaning person, you will be given consumable pieces of a story that you could learn and then repeat when you go out into the world because you want to be seen a certain way.
Right,
it's honestly why when like Colbert and Jon Stewart were back to back and they were huge on Comedy Central.
Right.
I believe the reason that they were so big was there were people that saw the two of them and thought, I would love to be that educated, smart, able to make a joke out of any political situation guy or girl at a party. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take these, I'm going to start aping what these guys do when I go out into my world. But I have to watch them every night so I see what they do so I can ape them and do it.
Right, right, right.
So I was reading an article this week, and now all the journalism online has gotten so poor, like misspellings, words.
Yeah.
I was reading an article this week where they spelled I'm, you know, the contraction of I am.
Yeah.
And it was lowercase I apostrophe am. And it's a little detail, but I see these in every single article I read now. It doesn't even matter. It's just a race to get just this voluminous shit out there,
right,
of propaganda. So I'm reading this article, and this is where I really started to think, like, okay, you know what? I'm done. Like, I was pretty happy this week. Fox News Channel has dumped their moniker, Fair and Balanced.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty good.
What do they call themselves? They think they call themselves America's Most Trusted News Network or something like that. Most Trusted is the phrase that pays.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it's an improvement over what they had. It's at least kind of veering towards my idea that there should be no such thing as news organizations. Right now, they are columnist and editorial organizations.
Right.
So I was reading an article. There's a writer from NBC Sports, this guy Bill Baer, and he wrote this article, Cardinals received criticism for Lance Berkman, inviting Lance Berkman to Christian Day, which I think is weird. Apparently, for the last 30 years, the St. Louis Cardinals have had Christian Day.
And really?
Christians can come out to the ballpark. I think that's weird.
Oh, wow.
And now they're having their first LGBTQ Day. So I think everyone's kind of all at odds
Even
or whatever.
Weirder.
What?
Even weirder. No, that's so weird. Like, you have, like, Evangelical Day at Busch Stadium. Like, people don't realize what a backwater St. Louis is. St. Louis is it's jean shorts central. It's weird. It's a land stuck in the 80s.
It is, no doubt. But at the same point, like, I'm just thinking, like, Christian Day at a ballpark. Like, I get the old timiness. Like, it's Ladies' Day at the ballpark. Half right. off on your Cracker Jack. Like, that's, I'm fine with that one old-timey thing.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden I'm going to go to sporting events now, and it's either going to be a Christian Day or an LGBTQ Day or a wear your pink sweater to the game day, like, I'm done.
Star Wars Day. Yeah.
Star Wars, like, something that would genuinely be fun and weird. Like, I kind of get that, and I'm okay with that. But then once I said, like, Christian Day and LGBTQ Day, like, what does it have to do with, like, religion and human sexuality? Don't bring it to the ballpark.
So Star Wars Day, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Christian Day, Christ at the Boom. Baseball game day, down.
Down. Ooh, that.
Yeah, that's not
anyway,
fun.
So this guy writes this article, and in it he points out, like, I'll go to the second paragraph where he writes, in September of 2015, Berkman foolishly advocated against public accommodations for transgendered people to use public bathrooms. In an ad in which he appeared, Berkman referred to transgender people as troubled men. He fear-mongered and suggested that transgender people would violate women's privacy and lead to violence. However, there have been no documented cases of transgender people attacking people in public bathrooms, contrary to what some pundits would have you believe.
That's right. Now, they're like coyotes. There's been no documented attacks of a coyote on a human.
Right.
Same thing.
Now, here's where I say, can we just go into no more news organizations? We're at the CBS. Honestly, instead of saying CBS News, it should be CBS Editorial, NBC right. Editorial, Fox News Editorial.
They're just called Information, right? CBS Information
so,
Hour.
I read this article. Berkman foolishly advocated against public accommodations for transgender people to use public bathrooms.
Yeah. Like, why would you throw that word in
there? Why is it? And here's me personally, I live in zero fear of going into a bathroom and having a trans man in the bathroom while I'm there.
I would prefer it, frankly. It would make things more interesting. I think it would be a lot of fun. So I'm not against it at all.
I see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah.
So you and I, zero fear on this. But I have coworkers, my female coworkers that I work with that are in their 20s, so they're not these oldie Olsons. They hear about this stuff and they go, well, now I'm uncomfortable.
Ew.
I'm not comfortable with this idea. Mm. And it's like it's not foolish to have a discussion about this. It's not foolish. Now, we may have a discussion about it and decide that trans people can be in any bathroom and do whatever, but we really even haven't had any kind of national debate or discussion.
No,
on it.
It's settled it's not, law. It's settled science, Jones.
The second that it became a story, it was settled because the editorial / news organizations that were pushing this story put it out there as it being settled. And again, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't really care that a trans man would walk into the bathroom while I'm there.
Right.
But I can't look at my other 105-pound female coworkers, and when they tell me they feel threatened, I can't turn to them and go, no, you're not.
You're being foolish. Now, and would you?
Yeah, you're being foolish.
And be fair about it. Would you view them as generally being socially conservative or socially liberal or undecided? In the middle. Ooh. Depends on the issue.
Runs the gamut. runs the gamut. I would say some of them definitely lean conservative. One of them almost didn't make it into work when they found out Trump was elected. So
really? Yeah.
It kind of veers. But I think they are unified in that even the people who support the trans, you know, a trans person going into the bathroom of their choice, they totally understand why the other person's a little bit uncomfortable. Like, women just have to be more on the lookout than men. So it's not foolish if another man goes, yeah, I don't know, I'm not really on board with this.
Right.
Like, we haven't had this. So, and moreover, my point is that a journalist is typing that out, that it's foolish, like tossing out his little opinion.
Well,
it's foolish that he did this. Now, here's the other thing that bothers
me. And it's not even just the writer, dude. Like, even with the speed of delivery, there is no way that was it Yahoo News who published that?
It was NBC Sports.
Okay, fine.
Yahoo News published it, but it was an NBC Sports.
Great. So Yahoo ostensibly signed off on it. NBC signed off on it by virtue of they had to have had. There's an editor who runs over things, and probably if it's run, and I don't know, honestly, if these websites are run the way newspapers used to be run, the writer writes the story, but then there's a headline writer who writes the headline. And so there are people in these organizations, especially on these websites, they are going over these stories with a fine-tooth comb because they want to bump up the search engine optimization of these stories. They want to stick in phrases and things like that. So they want to SEO out these stories that they help their website. So there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen here. It's not just this writer who has unfettered publishing access to the website, and he's all alone on this. There's a lot of people signing off on the word foolishly in this case.
No, absolutely. So, that's where I'm coming back to this idea of let's kill news organizations, their editorial organizations, and we can sit there and go, but we know this, and let's move on from it. It's like, no, let's make it so overt that you know where this is coming from. And the reason that I really have a problem with it is more than even when the guy uses the term foolishly, he writes in the article, there have been no reported attacks of a transgendered man in a woman's bathroom. Not true. There was even there in a Target in Idaho, I believe it was in 2016. There was a guy who went in there, a trans woman, man who's
This is where you get off the womanhood. Off the rails into the weeds.
I know. It's just, but you have to try.
There was a
to
being. A biological being made of.
Yes.
Yeah. Carbon materials.
It was a man that is now dresses up as a woman and is a trans woman.
Yeah.
He was in a bathroom and he was going over, saw and taking pictures of women, or not a bathroom, a changing room in Target. Mm. And he was like going around and he was taking pictures of these women. And it was reported in the New York Times. And then people who are against all these like bathroom bills and things, they said, well, that was a unisex changing room. And Target came out and said, we actually in that Idaho store, it's a man's changing room and a woman's changing room. We have two separate changing areas.
Mm.
So like even right there, this guy within the second paragraph comes out. However, there have been no documented cases of transgender people attacking other people in public restrooms. Like, no, these are happening in private public spaces that you think you have privacy. Like, don't just go tossing it out there that it's not a real thing. Moreover, whether you are black, white, Latino, Asian, straight, gay, bi, trans, there are deplorable people in every category. Let's stop acting like, oh, there's zero chance of anything going wrong and it's never happened. It's like, no.
So,
something will go wrong.
Right. So that writer obviously taking liberties with what formerly would have been considered journalistic standards and practices. So, but hasn't the last couple of years or last year, especially with the advent of hashtag fake news, aren't we all kind of giving a nod and looking the other way toward the news media on radio, TV, the print media, etc.? online. Don't most people with a brain on their in between their shoulders, haven't we all agreed that anything you read, you can't believe? This might as well be yellow journalism, you know, Hearst type times now. Nobody believes anything anymore. We're essentially at the stage that you're calling for, but you just want it to be actually declared by these organizations that we're fake news. Or potentially fake news. These are opinion pieces you're reading. This is not news per se anymore. Aren't we already there?
No, because it has to be overt. It has to be overt. And when it's not, it doesn't seep in. It doesn't seep in to most people. Don't sit there and when they sit down and they engage with news, whether it's they're reading it online or whether they're watching it on TV, they're not sitting there going, okay, well, let's read between the lines here. They're taking it in as they're receiving it and they're processing it, and that's it. Now, when you sit down and have a discussion with them at a cocktail party, they go, oh, yeah, I know it's all fake. And, oh, yeah, I know Bill O'Reilly, Republican. Oh, yeah, I know Tom Brokaw, Democrat. Yeah. But I do not. I think once they're going into their daily lives and then all of a sudden they see news flash, they immediately forget about that potential bias completely. And I'm saying, wouldn't it be a great thing if we just eliminated that to where all of a sudden it's like you would get like information flash, this just in from CBS editorial. And then you really, it's said every single time. Because once you, even if you give an editorial piece, but you go, this editorial piece from CBS News, you're reestablishing the word news. And that's where people take it from. Look,
I dig that.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We're stuck. I think we're just stuck where we are now for time in memoriam.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It does feel like there's a shift. Like nobody can trust anything that they read anymore. But you're right that there's the limited attention span of Americans that does seem to be rather problematic. And you're right. As soon as they do see, like I love when people share something on Facebook and it's from abcnews.com.co. Something like that. And it's
right,
like,
yes.
There's like a fake like URL, but it does have like the ABC News logo. And so they share it like it's real. And it's like, oh, that's like a fake site or something. You're actually giving me a virus. If I click on that story, you don't realize what you're doing right there. You're sharing something. You think you're being helpful. But it is fake news, man. So I dig what you're saying there, dude. So to be continued, we need some experts to come on and talk about this. Let's effort that.
This week.
There's a chance that we can put in, and I'll credit you. You'll be the guy that I credit for having done this, Jones. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
You're changing the world, one harebrained idea at a time.